This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki.
And welcome along to Wahine Atua for another week, where I have Fee and Marcia joining me. Marcia, nice to have you back.
Thanks, yes. Scheduling times when I'm not available. How very
dare you. I know, isn't that great? Nice to see you wearing your lovely glasses, though. Marcia and I, Fee, realised that last week, I haven't got the right ones on because I've got those ones at work, but Marcia and I have got the same glasses, thanks to Le Timu.
These are the lighter ones.
They're great. I've just ordered another five pairs. They are. They're really good as a spare pair to have, because I always lose my glasses. I must admit, I went and picked up my new prescription glasses this week. And they're, yeah, nice to have, yeah, good glasses back again. But those are great. I like the shape of those frames. I really like them. They suit you too.
It's my Michael Caine version.
Nice. They do. They're good. They're really good.
Might have to get some myself.
You'll laugh though, because my other prescription glasses, after me buying about 20 pairs off Timu, were, I'd lost one of my pairs a while ago, and I had my other pair of prescription glasses, and I thought it was they were in the car, but couldn't find them, and then lost them. So I was wearing all these Timu glasses, and you look at me, I've got like three or four pairs. As I'm sitting here and recording this today, so I have glasses everywhere. And I got inside, and my dogs had left all the Timu glasses, and the horrible one had chewed my prescription glasses up to a million pieces. Oh. So that's why I had to go and get new glasses. So it was like, so
bless them. Yeah,
bless them. You've got to love them, otherwise you'd want to kill them, because I felt like hanging up and blowing them across the room if I could have lifted all 54 kilos of them. Crazy. Hey, just so you know, Marcia, Fee and I went for a walk the other night. We've joined this walking group. It's a bit of walking. Miss Fee took off and went miles ahead of me because she took off and was running a marathon.
My legs are a lot longer than yours, Tracy.
Yes, I know they are. In comparison to you, I'm a hobbit compared to Fee. But it's quite funny when you're taking off and you go for walks and the different people you chat to and along the way. And anyway, we sat back down, which is going to lead me onto our topic for tonight again, but we sat back down and we, as my phone's beeping away, sat back down at the end of the walk and saw this rather attractive looking man smiling at us. He's smiling yourself now as we talk about it. Who got off, by the way, a very nice motorcycle, which I happened to notice it was a Harley, got off the Harley and then came into the pub, which is where we meet at the very end. And
he didn't have a Harley body either.
No, it was nice to see a man over 50, attractive and friendly.
Tidy.
Yeah, and tidy. He was a handsome looking man.
Yes, he was. Whoever he was.
But both Fee and I did notice it. And our other friend, speaking of handsome men, Marcia's husband's just walked behind her. Look, he's closer as he's walking past. Oh my God, if only we could show the footage, it would just be priceless.
You can't hear what we're talking about because I've got my earbuds in.
My God.
That makes it worse.
It's just what he does. Isn't that funny, eh? I must admit, all those crazy things that men do when I'm single, you do miss when they do all those stupid things. But anyway, getting back to that, the handsome looking man the other night, it was nice to see a man who was over 50 take care of himself and be, you know, attractive with his personality just by smiling. He was a nice guy and he wasn't being sleazy or anything like that. It was nice. So I guess it leads me now to our topic, which is obviously dating, which we talked about the other week. And so we're going to carry that conversation on. Obviously, Crystal's not here to laugh at us now, Fee, but we've got Marcia.
I am.
Because it's obviously when you're over 50 and you're dating or you're starting again. And I know I must have been like 30, 33 when my marriage ended. I think I must be, yeah, about 33. And I, yeah, 33, 34. And I remember like feeling just like the whole world had opened up and I was totally free. And well, I say free, I had two children, but I was free. And because I had been with Mark since I was 21, and you know, I was a kid then, even though he wasn't certainly far from restricting, in fact, probably everything, but I just felt like all of a sudden I could find myself again. And I can remember a friend of mine laughing hysterically at me because I went and bought all new lingerie, and I wasn't seeing anyone, but I went and bought new knickers and bras and matching stuff and wore matching stuff because, I mean, let's face it, most women, we don't generally, unless we're on a date or we hope something might
Yeah, but
happen.
you should be wearing that stuff for yourself,
Oh,
not
we
for
should
anybody
be.
else.
Exactly, though. That's exactly it, though. But most women don't. It's been a proven fact, though, that women don't go and buy nice lingerie necessarily for themselves. And it's wrong. We should.
Oh, I do.
Well, I
Oh, I
don't buy
do.
nice lingerie because I don't find it comfy. I
Yeah.
like my big comfy knickers,
Yeah.
me Marks and Spencer's bra,
Yeah.
and me control wear vest, and that's me.
Yeah, I'm a bit like you, Marcia, because I'm definitely built for comfort, not for speed. And
Oh well.
I, yeah, yeah. Well, oh well. As Fee found out with my walk. But you know, like it's nice to be. I must admit, because let's face it, you know, none of us are little wee stick things, and it's nice to see some lingerie coming out that is built for women who are size, even a size 14. You know, it was hard to get decent stuff, and it's nice to
Oh, to
see
be honest, I
starting to come
remember
through.
I could buy that back in the UK when I was sort of like a smaller than I am now, but bigger than your average bear. But I guess that's that we got more people, so you know it was available because I became single when I was 29. I came out of a long-term relationship then, and it was just the dawn of the internet chat rooms and things then. So
Yeah.
Matthew and I met online. And that was, I didn't really tell anybody at the time because it was like, ooh,
Has that,
did
do
you
you
meet
think,
in a sleazy chat room,
yeah, I was
did
going to
you?
say to you, like, let's face it, there was back when, even here in New Zealand, Marcia, when internet dating came out, there certainly was the whole, oh, they met on the internet. Oh, what's wrong with them? You know, like there was that sort of connotations of it. Has that changed?
I
I
think
think
so. I
so.
think it's the way that people meet people now, isn't it?
That's what I
People
think.
don't know how to talk in the real world. That's why I think both of us were so surprised when that gentleman actually like
Yeah,
acknowledged us
I
as
know.
the other human beings,
I know.
because it's just so foreign, because everything's online. I mean, you go out, well, for a bad example, but go into McDonald's, how many people are actually looking at each other? You can get a whole family sitting around a table and they're all looking at their screens.
And they've all pre-ordered the meal on the app before they get there.
That's
Yeah.
exactly right. You're right. I can remember when I first moved back up here to Taranaki, because after when I moved to Nelson, I was married and then my marriage broke up. And then when I moved back up here, I was single. And I can remember getting up here and thinking, how I'm going to be single for the rest of my days. How am I even going to meet anyone? Like, and I was working obviously in radio then too. And you know, like you're busy, you're out doing things. But it used to be that you'd meet people even at the supermarket. But you don't, that doesn't happen anymore. We don't all go for after work drinks anymore like we used to, because we all did, you know, right? We
Well, you're
all
not
did.
allowed to drink and drive anymore.
No, well, that's it. Yeah, I know that. Not that I ever did. I was a half a glass wonder and have been in my life. In fact, my husband used to, ex-husband used to say to me, the only reason he even went out with me was I was a cheap date. So I've never done that. But we did used to go and have a drink after work. You know, it was always a 4 o'clock on a Friday, finish early, go for a drink. You know, it used to be like that and it was quite sociable. And you would meet people there, but people don't do that now.
How did you meet your first partners? You know, your husbands? How did you meet them?
At a pub.
Yeah, pub.
Yep, at the
Yeah, see,
pub.
I met my first husband. I was working in a restaurant when he met me, as the Human League song would say. So I was working behind the bar and he was a regular customer.
Oh, so you took your work home.
Maybe the tips.
What about
I
you,
met.
Fee? Where did you meet your husband, ex-husband?
I met him. He was the best friend of my flatmate's boyfriend.
Friend of a so, friend, yeah.
Yeah, and I met him because we were living in Whanganui at the time, and he'd bought some tyres, and they were. I came home from my work, and there were these tyres and sitting in the lounge, no. These rims and tyres, and I'm like, "What the hell?" And my the chap that was there goes, "Oh, it's my mate. He's here. He's going to come and pick them up from New Plymouth." Yeah, I met him in New Plymouth. Yeah, and I was like, "What the?" And this guy had rung up, and so I was talking to him on the phone, saying, "Yeah, you can get your crap out of my house, you know, rah rah rah." Mm. And then we ended up coming up to New Plymouth, and we'd been giving each other a bit of cheek, you know, because I know you find it hard to believe, but I'm quite cheeky sometimes.
Never
and yeah, and he was as well. And so we met, and we had this love hate from the moment we met each other. In fact, we were driving around New Plymouth in this, it was an old Holden, a 1970s Holden. And he really annoyed me. And so it slowed down. So I opened the door and tried to push him out. But 6 months later, we were married.
Crazy.
I thought you were going to say 6 months later, you got out of jail for pushing him out of the car.
No, well, he held on. So he didn't fall out. I was so annoyed because he just annoyed me. And I annoyed him as well. Like he was flicking beer caps at me and, you know, like it was, we were young, you know, like 18. And, yeah, like I say, that was, in fact, the last thing he said to me as I left is, "I hope you write your car off." And, 1 week later I was in ICU cause I've written my car off. And so that's how it all happened. Then, yeah, like I say, 6 months later we were married.
Holy cow.
I know, it was just bizarre.
I think it's different as well when we get older because I remember when I was sort of like in my 20s, what I was looking for was very different than when I was in my 30s.
Mm.
So when I got to 30, I'd got a long list of what I didn't want in a person.
That's my problem at the moment. It's grown. My list has grown. What I don't
want. So like, whereas when I'm in my 20s, I wouldn't sit down with somebody like, "Do you want kids? Do you want this? Do you want that?" So these were like my criteria. You know, my first conversation with Matthew was quite...
The poor guy was interrogated.
Well, yeah, interviewed. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not wasting my time here.
Mm.
I don't want to waste my time and fall for somebody if his values don't align or whatever else, you know. Yeah. So you realise what's important. I guess you identify what went wrong first time to lead you to be single again. And you hope you're not going to make the same poor choices.
Mm.
And to be honest, in them 10 years from meeting my first partner, we were together 9 years all together. I changed in that time.
Mm.
You know, you're 20. And then being to 29, I think it's the time when you actually develop the most into the person that you end up being for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So I think when we get older, and then if you're dating again, perimenopause, it's like going through puberty again, eh? You know, you're completely, your needs and wants and tolerance is completely different again.
Mm.
Yeah.
We do like, in all honesty though, like if you're not brave enough, because I guess for me, I liken it, you have to be brave enough to put yourself out there to go on the internet, and I've tried it, but I don't think it's me. I don't think because I, like I said the other week, I just swipe left all the time and run out of options, and like, am I too picky? And maybe I am, maybe that's my problem, maybe I am too picky, but I would rather be on my own and happy than with someone and miserable. You know, yeah.
Are you fishing in the wrong pond?
Well, that's what I wonder. Am I fishing in the wrong pond? You know, maybe I am, and that's, I don't know. I don't necessarily think the internet is the place for me, and I keep on hoping that some gorgeous, intelligent man is going to walk into work one day and just go, "Hi, do you want to come for a coffee?" or whatever, and be sweep me off my feet, but I'm looking for that, that it's that level who's going to spark my interest with my brain. That's the biggest turn on for me, is somebody's going to turn my brain on. And if it's a picture of a fish, like we were saying the other week, Fee, you know, how many fish photos do you see, or sleazy, or you're hot, it just turns me off. I'm not interested. I'm just not. If you can't turn my brain on, keep moving, you know, I'm just on
the
stage.
Or otherwise, so every ex is crazy as well. I love that.
Yeah.
And I mean, and none of us, unless it was obviously an abuse situation, none of us are without guilt or without fault in a relationship breaking down. Mm. And it's whether male or female, whether we learn the lessons from that, you know, otherwise we just repeat it and we just keep doing the same stupid thing, just older.
I know. And I did do that, I must admit.
Keep doing the same. You get the same result.
I did that when my marriage broke up. I went for the same sort of guy. I just went for the bad boys who looked naughty, who were like this and absolutely drove, and I'd go, like, they're yummy. And I went for purely one-dimensional bad boys who could just, and they were fun. And that was it. But there was not, once the fun ended, there was nothing there. And
you know that. Sorry, you know that feeling when you go, oh, that's your common sense leaving your body?
Yep,
being like the butterflies.
Whereas
I remember a really good friend of mine, she was quite, at the time I thought she was really ruthless in her attempt to find a new life partner. So she kind of viewed it, what did she want her day to look like when she woke up with somebody 2 or 3 years in? What did she want? She were in her 40s, so she didn't want somebody who'd got very young children, because she didn't want to be a stepmom of young children. That she'd also decided that it would be nice to have a shared interest, or that if she could have an interest in their interests and vice versa, but be able to do things separately.
Yeah.
And she also wanted somebody who was at a level of financial security, so that she wasn't being expected to bail them out all the time, but she was independent financially as well. So, but she wanted to be equal. So she'd gone through all these things. So then we between us, you know, a bottle of Zinfandel later, and decided she needed to join the golf club.
Okay.
Because she did like golf. So she did. She joined the golf club. And within 2 or 3 months, she'd had a couple of dates. Turned out one of them was just fishing for fun time while his wife was at home. but then she had found somebody. She were in a, not for long, she were in a relationship, but not for long. But what she did realise is that a lot of the people at the golf club were either a lot younger than her or a lot older than her. There weren't many people in the middle.
Yeah.
So it was a strategy. It didn't necessarily work, but what it did do, it gave her a really big confidence boost, because what she were doing, she were in an environment that were predominantly male, that all got a shared interest because she were learning to play golf so she could speak to people.
And they were happy to help her, I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it just gave her a bit of confidence because people were interested in her as a person. And but she was quite ruthless in her choosing. But what that did, it brought her back from a place of not feeling too good about herself to feeling really good about herself. And then she then went out into the world, and she was kind of, she'd grown as a person. And then, it sounds really corny, but like, you grow as a person, put the energy out there, and then what you put out comes back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And that she'd become, she was put presenting the type of person that she wanted to attract. So she was a confident, articulate, intelligent woman, and that she wanted to attract somebody like that. So I guess roundabout ways, you know, like, be your best version of yourself, and hopefully the best version, somebody to compliment that will come. But you know, if you're going on a first date and pissing and moaning about all the drop kicks that have been in your life before, they're going to run a mile.
Course they are, absolutely. Yeah,
So I
absolutely.
guess it's about put. When I said, are you fishing in the wrong pond? Put yourself in a place where you're likely to find the person that you want to meet. You know, are you going to find them on? I mean,
No.
those that dating app you spoke about is probably more fun to see who's on there.
It
Not
is,
necessarily to
and
find
that, funnily
somebody.
enough, that's exactly what it was. You hit the nail on the head, Marcy, because that's exactly. And I was teasing with Fee and with Crystal the other week about the amount of people you know on there, and I'm like, oh my God, like, oh, well, you just have a, I'd have just have a bit of a giggle and all the old photos, and I'm thinking, shit, they haven't looked like that in the last 10 years that I've
Right.
seen them and known them. They haven't looked like that. And all these young photos are up. It's like, oh my God, like. What were you saying the other day, Fee, about somebody that you knew had gone to gone on a date or something and didn't even know that it was the person they were meeting because it didn't look anything like them?
Yeah, they just walked straight past them.
Oh,
Yeah, no, because I was talking to this chap that I know, and he was like, oh, you know, it was all keen. He'd done everything. You know, they talked and they seemed to connect. Went, turned up and literally walked past them because I did not recognize them. He said, you know, it wasn't, he didn't care about what they looked like. You know, that wasn't what the thing for them. You know, they weren't, it wasn't about the physical attraction, but they weren't interested because they lied.
yeah.
You know, the photos, they said, you know, it was 20 years and 20 kilos ago, you know, so they were a lot bigger and a lot older. And like you said, I didn't care that she was bigger. I just cared that she'd been dishonest from the beginning. And I get that. It's like, I mean, if you don't have an honest photo of you, I mean, it's a bit like the ones that lie about their height. I mean, I think I might notice, you know, I mean, because I'm quite tall. I'm 5'10". If you tell me that you're 6 foot, I am going to notice that you're 5'8". You know,
Yes.
it's going to become, or they go, oh, you are tall, aren't you? Well, I was going to lie about my height. You know, it's just bizarre. It's I don't know why. I suppose people don't believe anything anymore.
I mean, just thinking about that and that potential deceit, when you're actually going off on a date, what's your safety measures?
I mean, on some of the apps like Tinder, you can actually tell someone where you're meeting. But to be fair, you can't talk to people on Tinder. Most people go off onto another real messaging app, you know, whether it be Snapchat or WhatsApp, you know, even texting, because you can block people, you know. But I've actually found, like, I think the Snapchat location's pretty good. If you've got a best friend or a someone always needs to know where you're going.
Agreed.
Send a photo of who you're meeting and their name and their contact number, and have your Snapchat location on for that person. And you have to. And the to be fair, that male or female, because either can be undesirable in that regard.
Well, yeah, and I guess I mean, that's what we used to do as my group of friends back when, like I said, when I was 30. But not we didn't really have mobile phones then, believe it or not, people. There'll be some young people who are going,
What?
what did you do without mobile phones?
Yeah, we had a
But it was
life.
always meet in a public place. Let's and actually it was one of us that we might be in a pub meeting somebody in the there might be the girls over in the other corner. You know, then we'd all dash to the loo. What did you think? Because you couldn't text them and go, oh, he's a minger.
I love that expression. It's
It's
funny.
about yourself as well, isn't it? How much do you give away about yourself beforehand?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because it's like I said the other day, you know, like I had this bloody guy who found me on Facebook, and the next minute he's telling me that he knew where I lived. And I'm like, holy mother of God. Like, it was actually quite frightening. And I thought, I don't know this person. I've never met them in my life, but he knows where I live. And he knew, and I live rural, and he knew where I lived. And I thought, holy shit. Like, it was actually a bit frightening. See, my problem is I haven't been on a date in 15 years. Fifteen
Me.
years since I've been on a date, and I sort of sit back and think, yeah, okay, yeah, I've lost quite a bit of weight, and I look a bit different, but I actually had more success with men when I was bigger.
when I get another person added on to me than what I do now, which is really, I find that quite amusing, but I don't give a shit anyway. But you know, like it's so it's not that, it's not my weight, because I don't consider myself, it's an issue and it shouldn't ever be a bloody issue anyway. But I had more success being bigger, as I say, and I haven't been on a date, so I don't know what the hell, I wouldn't know what to do.
Well,
I wouldn't know what to do.
just be yourself. And to be fair, like you say, Marcia, about how much do you divulge about yourself? Well, Tracy's a public figure, and she's quite well known. I mean, and I'm reasonably well known, through some of my social stuff that I've done, doing theatre and the suicide prevention stuff. So people know who I am. So in my photography, lots of random
But
things that I've
Taranaki
done.
is a small place.
It is a small place.
I know. And to be, I mean, I look beyond Taranaki, to be fair. Because, I mean, I'm an import to Taranaki, as you are, or as
We
we
all
all are.
are.
We're all imports. And, it's a lovely place. Don't get me wrong. I love living here. But there are some people that, who think, if they live in South Taranaki, going to New Plymouth is like a huge, like expedition. And whereas I think nothing of popping up there for a coffee or going to Whanganui for lunch. It's just down the road. I mean, you'd be the same, Marcia, because
Yeah, I go to Harwood for my haircut.
yeah,
Far
because
at
it's
all. When
just,
you've lived in a bigger city and you've lived in bigger places, driving an hour is nothing.
yeah, and as long as you've got good sounds, I mean, who cares? And you just,
Oh, excellent podcast to listen to.
yeah.
Hashtag
Get it in there, girl.
So it's that sort of different types of thinking. I think that, and if you are, I suppose you've had more experience of different parts of New Zealand or the world, then what you're looking for is slightly different. I mean, this is, I mean, Trey, you're talking about, find difficult, find someone to date. There's a lot of farming. I mean, that's a different lifestyle and hours to what you have, although you with your new breakfast show, that may be the same hours,
But the
you
funny thing
know.
is, I live on a lifestyle block and I've come from a farming family. My parents were dairy farmers, and I've got a daughter who's with a dairy farmer, and I've got, and even though I've only got 5 acres, but we've got goats and sheep and horses and turkeys and bloody partridge in a pear tree here. And the animals are very much, as you know, I've got three bloody dogs who will live in the house, I hate to say. But you know, like it's not that. And I keep on thinking, like, actually, I would actually, in all honesty, if I could meet a farmer, I'd be absolutely over the moon. That would be, like it would be, because I'd love that lifestyle. I absolutely would love that.
Well,
Nothing.
then you
But
should be
listen, I've
going.
got a challenge for you both, right?
Oh, no.
Fee, you'll find somebody for Tracy. Tracy, you'll find somebody for Fee.
Okay.
Well, why don't you find someone for us?
All right.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's what it used to be, eh? People, you used to say, oh, come and have dinner, because and then they turn up and there'd be another single person and arrive,
Was
or
that?
yeah,
And
and
you
that
know the
don't
funny
seem to
thing, I've
happen
got.
these
No,
days.
it's not. And it's like I've got some fantastic male friends, absolutely fantastic male friends. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, love him or hate him. Sam Bennett, he's like a brother to me. And we get on like an absolute bloody house on fire. And we're partners in crime. He calls me his theatre wife. If I could find another Sam with that cheekiness, naughty little shit that he is, and he'll, it's a term of endearment with him. But somebody who's like that personality, I want a personality like, who's strong, a personality like that, and stands up for his beliefs, but in a Swanee and gummies.
Well, then you need to start to go to the farming things. They do have things. Well, like the surfing, the amazing thing that the
I'm a
rural,
surfing
or
thing.
surfing for farmers.
surfing for farmers, which I think is an amazing
Isn't an
thing for mental
amazing
health
initiative?
and just getting them out. Marcia does a different Marcia does some great stuff for our mental well-being of our men.
Although Tracy might look a bit odd if she's just walking up and down the shoreline. Well,
In a big
obviously,
city.
I'm there.
No, no, yes,
But yeah.
no, you're
Holding
sitting.
up the marker cards. 10,
Crazy.
10.
I hope so. Hey, I hate to say it, we've actually reached time. We've actually
Oh,
hit our
never.
time, so we do need to end it there. And I will see you at the police station after I've been arrested for harassing men with a placard at farming.
We'll see you at dinner
Bail
when we
me out.
introduce you to people.
I'll cook a roast.
Bang on.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.